Well, now that we have come to the subject of the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the narrative changes to these events that took place before the Lord Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. And already we see on the day of crucifixion that there is an indication of what would take place. At verse 51 we read, "And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom." Remember last week we saw that that was God's sign that the way into his presence had been opened by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ as the atonement for sin. And we read also, "The earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many." Now, when you are sitting on your chair or in your pew and you begin to shake and you cannot stop yourself from shaking and you haven't got the flu, you begin to wonder what is going on. And if that shaking, instead of getting less, gets greater, and you end up on the floor, you begin to get very alarmed. What is going on, you say? Well, even in this country of Britain, it could be an earth tremor. We do get earth tremors. They're perhaps not usually so serious that they would put you from your seat onto the floor. But as you know, in various countries throughout this world, there are earthquakes. And the consequences of the earthquake can be much more serious. I was told of one minister who was nearly killed in his study, because when there was an earthquake, all of his books, instead of remaining on the shelves, came toppling down. So the earthquake is a very serious matter. And before we proceed any further, it is perhaps worth noticing that in the midst of all of this disturbance, where these various tombs were opened, the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea remained intact. It had a purpose, and for that particular purpose, it must remain intact even after the Lord Jesus Christ was risen from the dead. It was a testimony that he was risen indeed. Now, the resurrection was central in the preaching of the apostles. Peter's theme on the day of Pentecost was the subject of the risen Christ. Yes, he was crucified, and that was necessary For he had come as the sin bearer. That sinners such as you and I, through faith in Christ, might have forgiveness. So Christ died. But also, he rose again from the dead. Peter emphasizes the fact that death was swallowed up in victory. And that these things had come to pass in accordance with prophecy. Particularly, he makes reference to Psalm 16. This was fulfilled in Christ. In chapter 2 of Acts at verse 29, we find, he said, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are witnesses." The apostles saw their responsibility as witnessing to the fact that Christ had risen again from the dead. Now here already at the time of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, there was this sign which was a pointer to what was going to take place. The earth shook and the rocks were rent and the graves were opened. This was in preparation for a vivification that was to take place. Now, vivifying is the reviving or restoring of life. It is something that man cannot accomplish. Sometimes people are in a coma. It is as if they were dead, but they are in fact still alive. And possibly they recover. They are restored from their illness. But it is not a restoration from death to life. But that was what God would accomplish with respect to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we see with respect to others at the time of his resurrection. God was going to show the virtue of the death of Christ and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ by making it plain that what Christ had done and his resurrection from the dead had implications of life for others. And so, at that time of the resurrection of the Lord, others were to be raised from the grave. There is a sequence here of three significant events. The first two of these are mentioned here. The third is implied. The first thing in this sacred sequence is an earthquake. Natural in one sense, but in terms of its timing, location, effect, this earthquake was a miraculous earthquake. And it broke open these sepulchres in the vicinity of Jerusalem. Now, the Lord's burial by Joseph of Arimathea illustrates the Jewish custom at the time. And I read about that in verses 59 and 60. And when Joseph had taken the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. Mrs. Mahon and I were at a funeral on Friday. When you get to the graveyard, our practice is different. We haven't, in the immediate location, suitable rocks and so on where we can make sepulchres. And as you know, the practice in Britain is when you are buried in a grave, dug in the ground so that the coffin can be lowered into it. But you see, that was not the Jewish practice. The Jewish practice was to use caves, or if caves were not available, to manufacture caves by hewing out a space in the rock that would be of a sufficient size to receive at least one body, but which might, if it was larger, be used for several different corpses. Joseph of Arimathea had made preparation for his own death in having this particular sepulchre produced for him. Not a natural cave, but hewn out of the rock to make a burial chamber. In all usual circumstances, one would expect such tombs to be permanent for centuries. And so in this particular location, there were various sepulchres of the Jews. You would think that those who had been laid to rest in these sepulchres, they would be there, their remains would be there long after this particular generation at the time of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. But this was not to be. We have already seen that remarkable miracle that took place when the Lord Jesus Christ died. The veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom. God's demonstration of the fact that the way into his presence had been opened through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. We saw last week the significance of the Jewish ceremonial with their high priest and with their tabernacle, and then later the temple. It had a holy place where the priests ministered. It had then the curtain or veil, and then the Holy of Holies, which was the place of the presence of God among his people. And in that Holy of Holies was the Ark of the Covenant, you remember, overshadowed by the cherubim. And when the Lord Jesus Christ died, this veil was torn from the top to the bottom. God indicated that the way into his presence was now opened through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there is this situation here that we are looking at, this earthquake. Well, that would be significant enough in itself, but that was not the full significance. This shaking of the earth produced this effect that a number of graves in the location were opened. They were damaged, we might say. And instead of being closed to human eye and so on, whatever was standing there in the doorway aperture, these were removed. So these graves were opened. Now that's the first stage of things. We notice that Matthew is not saying that at this point in time any vivification took place. Any of these folk who had died, one supposes that there were only bones left, skeletons in various cases. Depends how long these people had been buried. But that's the situation. But there is this sign. The earthquake broke open the sepulchres. There's a message here. A message here with respect to death. That by virtue of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, there are implications for others who are dead. We know there's a spiritual lesson in that. We are all by nature dead in trespasses and in sins. But in consequence of this gospel that is preached, this good news of salvation, there is this spiritual quickening to life eternal. And those of you here present this morning who have been converted, you know the difference between when you were dead in your trespasses and sins and now that you walk in newness of life. What a change, dear friends. What a transformation. Life from the dead already. We're like the blind man who could see. Once I was blind, but now I see. We can say, once I was dead in trespasses and in sins, but now I am alive unto God and walking in the way of righteousness. So that was the first indication of something tremendous that was to happen. And then when the Lord Jesus Christ had lain in the sepulchre, on the third day, which is the first day of the week, the Lord Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. An absolutely inconceivable event to his enemies. They had sealed the tomb to prevent the body from being stolen, lest the claim should be made that Christ was risen from the dead. But no such action on the part of the disciples was necessary, because the Lord Jesus Christ would rise again from the dead, and did rise again from the dead. Now, Matthew hasn't mentioned the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the details, the factual details of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ yet. But he does mention, in connection with these graves that were opened, that many bodies of the saints which slept arose. So they were dead as you can be. They were corpses, even skeletons perhaps. There was no doubt at all about the fact that they were dead as you can be. But they came out of their graves and they went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now Matthew hasn't mentioned the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ yet, but he does make the point here that this event that he is mentioning about the bodies of the saints arising, that this took place after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let us remember that after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, many of these buried saints arose. So we are to notice the sequence. Sequence was that Christ had died. None of this other that we are going to speak of could take place without the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. There can be no new life to sinners such as we without the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. So at the heart of the message of the gospel, the good news of salvation, is the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ did not just faint and then when he was put in the tomb, in the cool air of the tomb, he revived and he was able to come out again. These various interpretations of unbelieving preachers to circumvent the truth of the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ really rose from the dead. He had died. Friends, if he had not died, the significance of the gospel message for you and for me would not bring any hope at all. The Bible is absolutely clear that the wages of sin is death. If what is due has not been paid, then as far as you and I are concerned, there is no answer to death. Heard people say, when you're dead, you're dead. But you see, that's not the case. When you are dead, you are in eternal torment. Because there is a wage to be paid with respect to sin. And the wages of sin is this everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. Christ died. He had to die that death which is due to us all as sinners. And that is what he did. He stood in the stead of sinners and took that eternal wrath which was due with respect to all of that sin. And so Christ died. He really died, and he must die, the just for the unjust, to bring us unto God. When he died, there was an earthquake. Because of the shaking that took place, various tombs were opened. Now, all of this took place late on Friday, when the Lord Jesus Christ died. Subsequently, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ was later taken by Joseph of Arimathea and he buried the Savior's body there in his own new sepulchre. and then things go quiet. From late Friday through Saturday to early on Sunday morning. And early on Sunday morning, the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He who was delivered for our offenses was raised again for our justification. And then Matthew tells us, after the Lord Jesus Christ rose again, many of these decayed bodies of the saints in the tombs that had been opened by the earthquake were restored to life and reunited with their perfect souls returned from heaven. And then they came out of their graves. They went into Jerusalem, the holy city, and there they appeared to many. It was not sufficient for God to show that his eternal Son incarnate, having been crucified and borne the punishment of sin, had risen again from the dead. It pleased God to show what the consequence of this was for sinners like you and me. Each of these who were in their sepulchres and raised to life, each of them was a sinner. Each of them had suffered death, for the wages of sin is death. And we all die, except those believers who will be alive at the time when the Lord Jesus Christ returns again from the dead. But it pleased God to show at that very time of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ what the effect of the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ would be for sinners. And so these who had sinned, repented of their sins, believed in God's provision of the mediator, they were raised from the dead at that time. Now, this was not as Lazarus, who died, who was raised by the Lord Jesus Christ. Lazarus, come forth, he said, you remember, to show the power of Christ's word in connection with these things. But you see, Lazarus lived again on this earth. And then he died. These particular saints who are now raised at the time of Christ's resurrection were raised not to die again, but to accompany the risen Christ to glory. Jameson, Fawcett and Brown commentary puts it, but this was a resurrection once for all to life everlasting, and so there is no room to doubt that they went to glory with their Lord as bright trophies of his victory over death. So Matthew Henry says in this connection that we learn by this, I quote, that Jesus Christ by dying conquered, disarmed and disabled death. These saints that arose were the present trophies of victory of Christ's cross over the powers of death, which he thus made a show of openly. Having by death destroyed him that had the power of death, he thus led captivity captive and gloried in these retaken prizes, in them fulfilling that scripture, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. You'll find that in Hosea chapter 13 and verse 14. The full text is, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. So the Apostle Paul, writing on the subject, can say, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, thy victory. You see, the Christian hope goes beyond this world. We are to be with Christ, which is far better. And even the mortal clay, as we call it, these mortal bodies, are to be raised again to the enjoyment of that eternal glory. This body that we leave behind to dissolution in this world will be raised to glory at the last day. How could friends and relatives of these resurrected believers doubt it? They saw it. But we, dear friends, we read of it. But nevertheless, we must believe it. And what a glorious day it will be when the Lord Jesus Christ returns again and the dead shall be raised to the glory of his name and to the demonstration of the perfection, efficacy, and wonder of his work. Yes, the story of the cross is a sad story, but in the light of this resurrection, we see a different dimension. And those who believe may say with the apostle, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Make that your testimony today by trusting in the Savior. Let us pray.